Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Barker. Thanks for listening, and we'll once again be introducing our phone guest today in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms once again. Psalm 102, beginning at verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come, for your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Verses 1 through 28, all of Psalm 102. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift the book of Psalms is, and thank you for the many ways that we learn more and more how to worship you as we read and meditate on your Psalms. We learn more about how to pray, how to seek you, how to open our hearts and lay them bare before you in our times of prayer. Father, more and more, teach us by the divine tutor, our Holy Spirit, to be a people who live a life given to prayer each and every day and empower us by your Spirit to do that more and more. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Yesterday, we were privileged to have Dr. Dave Butts with us. And once again, Dr. David Butts is with us. He's the director of the ministry Harvest Prayer Ministries, as well as an author, a teacher, and many other things as well. Dave, welcome again to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you back again. And Dave, I tell you, as we start off, this comes to mind. It was a story that Steve Brown shared, and this was a true story, but it was about a gentleman who one day he had this bright idea. He had a cat that had gotten spooked and scared up a small tree, so he tied a rope around the tree to pull it down with his vehicle slowly so he could reach the spooked cat out of the tree. Well, his plan was working, but just before he got out of his vehicle and walked around to reach the tree, the rope broke. Well, the tree became a catapult and hurled the cat through the sky, and he looked and looked, couldn't find the cat. Well, a couple days later, he was in a store, and he knew this lady. He knew she hated cats, and she was buying cat food, and he was wondering, well, what's up? Well, she said, well, my daughter asked me for a cat, and I told her no. And then she said, please, Mama, can I have a cat? She said, I tell you what, you can have a cat if the Lord sends you one. And her daughter went into the backyard, got down on her knees praying, started praying for a cat. Here come a cat flying through the sky. Well, God answered her prayer, and she got it, and it appeared for her that it came straight from heaven. Well, a true story, but it's a powerful reminder that God answers the prayers of children. just as quick as he answers the prayers of adults as well, too. So,
That's right.
As we start off, I'm going to ask you to once again introduce yourself and your ministry to our listeners, if you would.
Certainly. Well, my wife and I moved out of the local church pastorate 23 years ago and began Harvest Prayer Ministries. We have a firm conviction based on Scripture that the foundation of the work of God on planet Earth is prayer, mm-hmm. and that every congregation, whether it's 15 people or 15,000 people, needs to line up with what Scripture says, that God has called His house to be a house of prayer for all nations. And what we discover is that though everybody believes in prayer, not everyone gets it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand exactly what it means. And so we come alongside local churches and basically ask the question, how can we help you become a house of prayer for all nations? And sometimes that's actually just showing them that they actually need to be a house of prayer for all nations. Mm-hmm. And then working with them, particularly working with leaders, on how do you take the steps? What does it mean for leader to be a leader in a house of prayer? You know, how do you take this from a ministry of a few people to impact a whole congregation? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we do that through a lot of teaching, do a lot of travel, but we also do a lot of writing, because I really believe in the ministry of books and written material that can help people. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I together or apart have written 12 books, and we love to get those in people's hands to help them as they grow in prayer. And we just continue still to travel and teach. We pretty much go all over the nation, mm-hmm. and though we're located in Indiana, that's only where our mortgage is. We're not here a lot, okay. Because we really believe God's called us mm-hmm. to simply travel and teach and kind of pour our lives out for the Lord and for His church. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to go into any deeper on that, but just simply to say, it's very, very clear from both Old Testament and New Testament that the Lord has named His house a house of prayer for all nations. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, God mm-hmm. says that very clearly. And when Jesus went into the temple, He went there expecting to see a house of prayer, because that's what it was called to be. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't. And it's a one occasion in Scripture where you see Jesus demonstrating this godly anger. And I believe it had more to do with what He did not see than what He saw. Mm-hmm. That there was not prayer there. Everything else was there except prayer. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder occasionally whether Jesus would have a similar response. If He came into some of our churches, He'd see a lot of things happening, but would He see the house of prayer that He and the Father have named His house? And mm-hmm. Scripture is very, very clear that the house of God was not something that was limited to the temple, but it is, in fact, the church of Jesus Christ. We are His house, mm-hmm. The dwelling place of His Holy Spirit. And, you know, when God names something, it's a pretty serious thing. And so God has named us a house of prayer, and we do all we can, first of all, to make churches aware of that, because all too many times they're not, and secondly, then, to help them with the practical steps in moving towards that.
Hmm. Okay. You know, of course, Dave, to listen to you share about that, that's a huge, huge topic all by itself. And I think it's critical that we understand that when God lets us know something is a priority, it's wise for us to really spend time thinking about that and giving ourselves to that, whatever that might be.
Yeah,
so certainly.
Absolutely okay. True. Mm-hmm. Let me mention something, and I'm not here to push books or anything. I love teaching, but in the midst of teaching there, let me just say something. There is a little book that I wrote about a year and a half ago called Forgotten Power. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle is A Simple Theology for a Praying Church. Mm-hmm. Because what I've discovered is that we typically have not taught our pastors and church leaders what it means for the church to be a house of prayer. And so that theology is a scary word for people, but it's just to think deeply on a topic. And we've not thought deeply about what it means for the church to be a house of prayer. So in this little book, Forgotten Power, it talks about that and helps the church understand and develop even their own little theology of prayer, particularly regarding the church. So I just thought I would mention that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, while you're mentioning that, please do go ahead and share with our listeners how, if they're wanting to get either that book or some of the other books you've written, would you share some of the other titles and just a quick summary of what they would be about as well?
Well, yeah, that'd be fine. And I ought to mention, you know, up front that these are pretty much all available. You can get them on Amazon, and most of them, I think, are on Kindle books as well. But the best place for you to go is prayershop.org, prayershop.org. And you can find all of our books and a lot of others as well. I mean, hundreds of prayer books just on prayer. If you just want good Christian books on prayer, prayershop.org is a great place to go. And so you'll find Forgotten Power that I talked about. And the other day when I was here, the newest book that I've written is With One Cry, A Renewed Challenge to Pray for America. And, boy, we really know in our day that we've got to do that. We've got to be serious about praying for our nation. And it's got to be something more than simply God bless America. We need to take the Word of God and apply it to our situation and learn to pray that way. So With One Cry becomes a valuable tool for that. And, you know, something that's kind of closely associated with that is a book that that I did. It's a little different than the others because it's a 40 Days of Prayer for America. It's called Desperate for Change. So if you're looking for a kind of devotional that just helps you day by day, day one, day two, day three, pray like this, some good thoughts as well as scriptures and prayer focus for 40 days of prayer for the nation, that's called Desperate for Change. Let me mention two others. One of the things that I'm praying for, when I talk about praying for the nation, I am always praying for revival, which means I'm praying for the church in America to wake up, to become the salt and light that God's called us to be. And there's a little book called When God Shows Up, Essays on Revival that I've written, and I think that will help people pray for revival. And the, just one more that I wanted to mention of the ones we've written. It's the very first one I wrote, and it's called The Devil Goes to Church. And that's combating the everyday attacks of Satan. And I think most of us realize that we are under attack as individuals, as a church, as a nation. And all too often we forget that. We just don't want to talk about it. And so with a very, I would say, a broad-based biblical understanding of spiritual warfare, The Devil Goes to Church helps us understand that if you're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you're a target. You know, I think most of us know that. We don't like to think about it. But if we are a target, we need to not be people who walk in fear, but we walk in strength.
That's right.
And that means we learn how to pray. And so that's an important book, I think, for us. So simply, The Devil Goes to Church, and that's available, like all the others, at prayershop.org.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you, Dave. We're coming up on a break here. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask that you do some take time to pray specifically for the church as it relates to growing in the understanding of the need to make prayer the great priority God calls us to make it. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Dr. Dave Butts.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, The healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
We recently celebrated my pastor's 13th pastoral anniversary. It was a celebration indeed. The guest pastor preached a message that really made me think about something. What happens when you have not done what God has instructed you to do and you feel as though you've failed God? Most often after repentance, we come back to God, but the despair of disappointing God still lingers. We quickly tuck it away and we dare not let anyone know that we are wrestling with the residuals of being disobedient. This is a dangerous place for a believer to be. Not only are you wallowing in a place of self-pity, but you're teetering with the idea that God is not a man of his word or that he has forgotten his promises for you. Understand this, there is not a single event in the world of which God is not aware. That includes you missing the mark. Take comfort in this and let yourself off the hook. God's eyes are always on you and he will never change his mind about you. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
I almost recorded Will snoring last night. I know
hey.
We got to go to
hey.
I almost recorded tell you. Him snoring okay. so that I could bring it back in.
You might want to stop.
The only reason I didn't, I don't want to stop. The only reason I didn't
Ooh,
is because I was
I did record you. That's all I'm going to say. I have it on my phone right now.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all I'm going to say.
Shots
I did because, man, I didn't. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, Cletus.
Hashtag winning.
Come on, Cletus.
Wait.
Let's go to break.
That is so not fair. Hey, I didn't record you.
I did record
yes.
you. Just because of the conversation
that's
yesterday.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
give me a verse.
Said,
give me a high five,
stop.
Brother.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
A high five.
Come on, Cletus.
Okay, let's take a break.
Wow.
I love you.
I love you.
I am dedicating my life to you and bearing your four children.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Catch Airing the Addisons weekday morning 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Vashon Mitchell, the song Nobody Greater. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest today by phone is Dr. David Butts, the director of the ministry, Harvest Prayer Ministries. Dave, as we start off this for this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll start by really praying for listeners and praying for the church in this regard. You know, you use the term sometimes people that get it, and I think that's a very helpful term in it because when a person grasps that prayer is really a powerful, powerful tool that God is ready to do so much through and he's called his church to do it. When they get it for themselves, it changes everything. So would you pray for our listeners and the church to grow in their understanding and to really get it and to begin to put prayer to work in their lives in that way?
Yes. Okay. Let me just pray. Lord, I thank you for
Lord,
for the fact that prayer is so important to you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you literally named your house a house of prayer.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, I ask that you would help us to grasp that fact.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The importance of it, how high a priority it is for you. Lord, like the disciples so many years ago, we would just come to you and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to be a people of prayer. Lord, would you actually pour out a spirit of prayer upon the church in America?
Yes,
Lord, I pray for pastors that you would open hearts to become a people of prayer that lead your people to become a people of prayer.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Father, in the days ahead, we face such critical times, and we know that we cannot do this on our own. We need you. We need your power.
Thank you.
Lord, would you do in us what only you could do as you call us to be your people of prayer.
Thank you.
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave, for sharing in prayer there. Dave, would you touch on this now at this time? You know, one thing that is very obvious, and it's obvious to see in the hearts of parents, is obviously dads and moms want the absolute best for their children. And it's so important, again, going back to the same term, when parents get it, when they come to realize if they teach their children, first they help them come to know the Lord, but teach them how to pray and the importance of making prayer a priority. Would you comment on why it's so critical for us as parents to make it a high priority to teach and train our children to give themselves to prayer?
Well, you can look at how children so often, just literally, even sometimes against their own desires, find themselves becoming like their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we pick up our the negative and the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we model that prayer is important to us, it's critical, they see us pray. They don't just know that we've said prayer is important, but our meals have prayer time, and they see us pray with them before as they go to bed, and they see us as parents or grandparents even praying in the morning and having a prayer list and going beyond prayers that are just about us, but prayers that are about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That changes a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this, they're never too young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been around three-year-olds who were praying in an astonishing way. Yeah, they really were,
mm-hmm.
because they had heard their parents or grandparents pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge, huge thing here. So, you know, and you know, there's we can't count on the church to do it. It mm-hmm. has to be something that happens in our own home.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that. And it's so powerful to remember that, again, being the role model for our kids in this regard is so important. And, you know, all of us chuckle sometimes when we hear the prayers of children, but many yeah. times they're imitating and praying in line with their parents. Yet again, God will hear a child just as quickly and sometimes quicker than mm-hmm. he'll hear adults.
Oh, yeah.
And we should never make the mistake of thinking that God is sitting in heaven thinking, isn't that cute, and not paying attention. God is listening. And he's answering
right.
the prayers of our
you know,
children.
You got to think about this, too. God probably chuckles at God the Father chuckles at some of our prayers, too.
That's right. In fact, he probably can laugh all day long listening to some of us sometime. You know?
Yeah, so, that's right.
Right. So, but again, as far as other issues, for example, that you touched on, and I'll tell you, before we leave that topic, let me share this, too. Instance where there was a father, he was in church one day, and his little boy, his very small boy, was just giving him fits, doing this and that, and finally he'd had enough. He picked the boy up and was headed to the vestibule, and the little boy who'd been playing so much, all of a sudden he realized judgment was coming, you know, and just before he got out of the sanctuary, he yelled out, "Y'all pray for me." Well, he kind of got the attention of the whole congregation at that point, But even there, in that instance, that little boy recognized prayer helps, you know?
Yes, yeah.
And those are lessons.
In circumstances in which you got yourself in trouble.
That's right. That's right. Yet at the same time, those are serious lessons for all of us. Because,
they
again, we all get in those tights, those difficulties. Yet we have a Father that is so patient. Even when we cause all our own problems, God still hears us. And I think of Samson, who was even near the end of his life when he'd done some major mistakes and brought great trouble to his life. His prayer allowed God's grace to work through him once again before he died. And so many instances in the Word of God where when people learn how to pray, in the good times and the tough times, we have a Heavenly Father that answers prayer. Well, would you continue to share, like, there were some other issues related to some of the books you've written that you were wanting to share. Would you expand a little bit more on some
of those? I want to focus on something for a couple of minutes here that I think is very, very important. And that kind of goes back to the issue of spiritual warfare. I wrote this little book called The Devil Goes to Church. And people were kind of going, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I think we need to realize that it's the church that is really the great threat to Satan on planet Earth. It is the people of God through whom God works through His Spirit to expand the kingdom and to do works of righteousness. And so Satan will do whatever he can to distract us, to damage us, and so he comes against the church. And what I suggest to people is that the great issue for the church is typically unawareness. We're just simply unaware that Satan's attacking. And you contrast that with Paul, who would write to the Corinthians, and he says, now we're not unaware of Satan's schemes. And yet I would say today that most of the church is totally unaware of Satan's schemes. So things happen in a church, and we look for all sorts of reasons, but we don't often dig deep enough to the actual reason, which is we have an enemy who's trying to damage us. So here's what I say to people of prayer who are a part of local congregations, and you need to be a part of a local congregation as a believer. I think there are four things that we need to be aware of. I'm not saying there aren't other ways, but by and large, the devil comes against Christians and comes against the church in four ways. You can just kind of categorize them in these four general ways, and like 90% of your attacks are going to come in this way. They're going to come in the area of doubt, deception, discouragement, and division.
Okay.
Now, if you just stop for a little bit and think about it, most of the attacks that come against the church are going to come in one of those or all of those four areas: doubt, deception, discouragement, and division. And when we understand that, when we have that awareness that Paul speaks of how the enemy attacks, then we're going to know how to pray. We're going to know how to walk in victory. And we won't fall for his tricks. So, for example, doubt is one of the major enemy, one of the major attacks of the enemy. He tries to get the people of God to doubt, because you see, what pleases God is faith. And so, if Satan can turn us from faith to doubt, then he's got us where he wants us, and we are no longer in a place of pleasing God when we're walking in doubt. It seems to me that there are two major areas of doubt. The first is to get us to doubt the authenticity and the authority of God's Word. And I want you to think about it. You know, Satan has always done that. I mean, even in the garden, that was the main thing. You hear the voice of the serpent coming to Eve and saying this. Now listen to these words. Has God really said? You see, that's the same thing. He's planting that seed of doubt against what? The Word of God.
Questioning the Word.
Absolutely. I mean, that was there at least 6,000 years ago. Satan just keeps coming back at the same attack because it works so often. And so you have whole groups of Christians who have denied the authority of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And even among those of us who hold strongly to the authority of the Word, mm-hmm. we find ourselves saying that but doing something else. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to be a people who hold on in faith to the Word of God. If mm-hmm. God says it, it's so. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you, the second area of doubt has to do with the love of God. Mm-hmm. Virtually every single person, I would venture to say every human, mm-hmm. has heard the voice, and they didn't recognize it necessarily, but they heard that voice in their head that said, how could God love you? Mm-hmm. You know what you've done. You know the things you've thought. You know the things you wanted to do. How could God possibly love you? Mm-hmm. So you see, what Satan does is gets us to doubt the love of God. Mm-hmm. Now, to understand that, remember that Scripture says God is love. Mm-hmm. That's his very character, is to love. So Satan tries to get us to doubt the character of God. I mean, he's coming in with both guns blazing, you know, to get us to doubt the Word of God and the character of God. Mm-hmm. And so Christians, as they pray, have to see those attacks for what they are, the enemy trying to get us to move away from faith and onto doubt, and we become a people who begin to say, I recognize that. I mm-hmm. recognize those attacks. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to hold on to what God's Word says. I believe that what you say, Lord, is true, and I believed your character, that you are love, and that you love me. And there's nothing that changes your love. I can do things that fall out of your favor. I can do things that displease you, but I'm not going to do anything that stops you from loving me, because that's who you are. Mm-hmm. That's your character. So I would say that Christians have really got to understand this whole idea of praying regarding doubt mm-hmm. and how to handle that. So, you know, before our next break, let me just mention that the next area is a critical one. Okay. You know, but that's the area of deception. Mm-hmm. You know, because Satan, you know, Jesus described Satan as a liar.
Right.
The truth didn't hit him, and so Satan's always trying to deceive the church. He's always trying to get us involved in false doctrine. He's trying to get us into all sorts of error in every way. Mm-hmm. But you know what the biggest deception is in the church?
What's that?
I'm convinced it's Bible-believing Christians who hear the word and don't do it, mm-hmm. but think that they're doing good because they agree with the word. Mm-hmm. You know, I go hear a great message, and I walk out of there going, man, that was great. Mm-hmm. You see, that's kind of like the seeds of deception. Because I didn't really do anything. All I did was agree with the message. Mm-hmm. And so we got to come against deception, and we got to stand for truth. Mm-hmm. We got to stand for righteousness. We need to be people who do the Word of God. And so we become those who say, Lord, help me to love the truth. Help me to recognize deception in mm-hmm. me and in the church, and to always hold on to your truth. Mm. So doubt and deception are the first two, and maybe after our break we can come back and look at those other two.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And I think of this too. What you touched on is huge too, because again, a lot of deception, as you just said, when people think, well, I know that truth, but truth is meant to be applied, and we don't apply it, this is just all kind of tragedy behind that. So, but we're coming up on another break. Then again, you're listening to Dr. Dave Butts. We'll be right back after this break.
Next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
If spiritual warfare were a chess game, Jesus Christ is God's checkmate move. Dr. Tony Evans talks about what that maneuver really means for us as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Galatians 4:4 and Galatians 3:16 says, and there was a seed from the woman, and that seed's name was Christ. And that seed from the woman would be born of a woman and come into the world. And that tells us the whole biblical story, because every man is going to fall to Satan, because every man belongs to Satan. So the question is, who's going to go? The second member of the Trinity says, I'll go, but I need somebody perfect. I'll go, but I need somebody who's willing to be a man. I'll go. I need somebody who'll be willing to go to the other tree. The first tree got him kicked out of the garden. I need somebody who'll hang on another tree to bring him back in the garden. Jesus said, I'll go. Then I need somebody to rise from the dead to demonstrate I've got victory over him. Jesus Christ is the second Adam who will do what the first Adam failed to do. We have a Savior, the man Jesus Christ. He is our deliverer. He is our Savior. He is our solution. He is our covering.
If you've never put on the covering Dr. Evans was talking about, visit us at TonyEvans.org to find out how you can have a personal relationship with God through Christ. And while you're there, get the big picture of the battle going on behind the scenes of your life by requesting a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. And pray about passing these important concepts on to the people in your church or study group. We have prepackaged Bible studies, study guides, everything you need. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Forever Jones, the song, You Are Welcome. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest today is Dr. David Butts. And Dave, as you were sharing, you know, I think of this as it relates to the song there. It's basically the song by Forever Jones is about welcoming the Holy Spirit into your presence, into a place of worship or wherever you might be. And of course, that speaks powerfully to what you're talking about. Just when the Holy Spirit is present, he pushes out the source of doubt and deception and discouragement, division as well, too. So, but just an important, I think, truth to recognize. But would you pick up, before you continue, would you pray for believers to really grasp and really follow along with what you're sharing? Because, again, the truth is so powerful and important to really understand and know how to kind of put to work in your life. Would you pray at this time?
Certainly. Certainly will. Lord, thank you that you are our victor, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Well, Lord, we can say that to you, but you still call us to stay right in the middle of the battle. Jesus. You call us to not be those who flee the front line, but to stay right there. So we want to walk in your authority and in your power, Lord, with your armor on and our eyes fixed on you as our commander-in-chief. Lord, you help us to understand the attacks that are coming against us and know how to pray in a way that releases your power and your victory in us and through us. Well, we ask it in your powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, then. So you were talking, again, you were talking about some of the specific things that the devil will try to use to mislead and come against believers. You know, James 1:22 comes to my mind as it relates to this, the second one of being deceived. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And that's just exactly what you're speaking of. One of the deceptions is to hear and not do, and thus be deceived. So a powerful truth that you picked up there. But would you continue as you're, again, you were looking at also at, you said deception, discouragement, and division as well then?
I think it's really important for us, you know, to just kind of take our time in a sense and understand these attacks. They're not just clever things, even though they, you know, they all start with a D, but they're all absolutely real here. You know, that there is a huge attack on doubt, on faith, and it's causing us to doubt in the church. And and doubt just totally undercuts our victory. And deception, if we're not going to be able to walk in truth, you know, then we're going to be able to, we're never going to walk in victory again. I think in that passage in 2 Timothy 3, Paul wrote that just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. And I really think that's what happens a lot. There is literally an opposing of the truth, and that comes about when we become simply hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And that's one of my great concerns in my own life, and especially in the church. You know, that third D, though, is the D of discouragement. Satan loves to discourage believers. You know, so often, if he can't get us to simply reject things or get in major sin, what he simply tries to do is this steady attack that brings us discouragement. You know, the interesting thing here is that our gatherings, our assemblies are supposed to be places where we receive courage. If we're going to be able to live the Christian life, if we're going to walk in victory, we need courage. And when we come together, you know, that is a place of giving courage, encouragement.
Right.
You know, I love that passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. See, one of the things that ought to mark our assemblies, our church gatherings, is encouragement, and that's the giving of courage. You know, we say, oh, great, you're here, good, we want to give you courage. You're going to need courage this week to live the life. And so Satan just simply comes at us, and he tries to discourage us. And the thing that's so sad is he typically uses other Christians to discourage us.
That's,
you know, how many times you go to church and sometimes you leave feeling beat up, you got discouraged because of the way people treated you or said things, and we've got to make sure that we are not those who allow our mouths to be used by Satan.
That's right.
To bring discouragement. Instead, we want to bring courage to one another. And so the way we pray then, when we start seeing discouragement in our own life or in others, is we pray courage.
That's right.
You know, I love that passage in Joshua, you know, where God says through Joshua to the people of Israel, be strong, be courageous. You know, they got a battle ahead of them. They got a whole land to take. They need courage. Well, you and I have that battle ahead of us. We're right in the middle of it, and we need courage. And so Satan tries to steal our courage.
That's
ultimately what discouragement is. And so there's the one more D that I really think is important for us to look at. And, you know, it's like the one everybody would guess, and that's division. Satan loves to bring division to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I have come to understand a bit about spiritual warfare is that if Jesus loves something, Satan hates it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Jesus loves is unity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all you have to do is, like, do a surface reading of the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that great high priestly prayer of Jesus, and he prays over and over again that we would be one, that those who follow him would be marked by unity, by being one together. I mean, Jesus puts it on a supernatural plane.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as the Father and I are one, so you are to be one. I mean, that's pretty supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan hates that.
Mm-hmm.
And he does whatever he can to bring division.
Right.
And unfortunately, mm-hmm. we fall for that trap. You know, we fall for stupid stuff. We fight over music. We fight over the color of carpet. We fight over the times of services. We fight over who the pastor is or how long the sermons are. You know, things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And
mm-hmm.
and we simply become tools in the hands of the enemy
mm-hmm.
to divide the body of Christ. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of denominations just in this country and literally thousands around the world. And this is with the church that Jesus prayed would be one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here's the way I've been praying. And here's what I suggest. I really think it's powerful. I think that what we do is we learn to pray with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we pray like Jesus prayed for unity in John 17.
Uh-huh.
And we pray, Lord, I want to pray with you for what you're passionate about, and that is that we would be one.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I've discovered. You know, Joseph, as you pray with Jesus for unity,
mm-hmm.
you get to a certain point where you find that you are so passionate about it that you'd rather die than divide the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to lay your own preferences aside
mm-hmm.
because what you really want to do is please Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure you don't do that, which hurts him by dividing the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we pray with Jesus, when we agree with him in prayer about unity, we're defeating the enemy's attack to divide.
Hmm.
So when you look at this, you understand that the church, in a sense, is walking around with a big bullseye on our back.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan shoots at us with his flaming arrows, and it comes against us in the area of doubt and deception and discouragement and division. And we're not to walk around in paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
We're to walk around in absolute confidence in the victory of Christ over the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that he will not do unless we step up and begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're praying, and if you're focusing all your prayers simply on yourself or a few people around you or someone's physical need at church, there's nothing wrong with praying those things, but somewhere along the line, you got to step to the front line.
That's right.
Somewhere along the line, the church has got to begin to pray against what the enemy's trying to do in our land
mm-hmm.
and in the church. And that means we learn how to pray the Word of God. We learn how to stand on the truth of God's Word. We learn how to walk in the victory of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest that becoming aware of the enemy's attack, and particularly those four areas, I'm not saying those are the only areas, but I am saying those are the general areas that most churches and most Christians have to deal with most of the time. You deal with those, you'll be able to handle anything else that the enemy throws at you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Now, which book do you touch on these four realities in? Which book is this?
Yeah, it's called The Devil Goes to Church.
Okay.
And the subtitle is Combating the Everyday Attacks of Satan.
Okay.
A lot of people listening might know the name Henry Blackaby, who wrote the great book on prayer that so many of us have cut our teeth on.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a foreword on that because he really believed that was an important topic for us to grab a hold of. You know, as we experience God, as his book says, then we also need to understand that we're going to have the attacks of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's available at prayershop.org like the other materials.
Okay. Okay. Well, Dave, our time is just about gone. Would you pray for our listeners in this regard?
Certainly.
You know, you touched on so many specific truths that are very helpful, but helping believers to recognize the need for them just to really decide that with God's help, they're going to step up and really begin to become prayer
warriors.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for this call to prayer that you give us. And that in the midst of the battle that we are in, this everyday battle that we're in, you give us promises of victory.
Yes.
And you not only give us a promise, Lord, you give us the tools, you give us the weapons of our warfare.
Thank you.
Lord, you've given us your word. And so we give you thanks that you've given us everything that we need to walk in righteousness and holiness and to walk in victory.
Thank
Lord, I pray that those who are listening today would have their armor on fully and completely and keep their eyes fixed on you, that they would walk in an awareness of being able to discern the attacks of the enemy and being able then, Lord, to walk in all that you have given us, to be an overcomer, to be the more than conqueror that you say that we are through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray it in your powerful name. Amen.
And Father, I do thank you, and I thank you for Brother Dave, and thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've directed him to lead and that you've raised up for such a time as this, the Harvest Prayer Ministries. And thank you, Lord, for many other prayer ministries you've raised up to guide and teach your people, to empower them to walk in prayer day by day. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Guide us so that more and more will grow in our understanding of the need for us to make prayer just a major priority. In fact, just a lifestyle through which we continue to walk with you and be a vessel through which you can get your work done. Guide us so that with every passing day, we'll grow in our knowledge of the importance of prayer and that we will not just know about it, but really put our prayer life to work, to really walk it out, and guide us to do just that. Lord, help us to do that as men, as women, as husbands, as wives, as dads, as mom, as grandfathers, as grandmothers. Help us to be about your business every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, would you share your website one more time for our listeners?
Certainly. It's prayershop.org. That's where you find the books and materials. I will mention also that harvestprayer.com is a place for our ministry, for scheduling, for looking to see what we have and what we do, trying to get to know us better. That would be at harvestprayer.com.
Okay, then. And all the books you've mentioned are available through that website, correct?
Yes, through prayershop.org.
All right. Dave, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It's good to talk with you again.
Good to speak with you. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. Hope that you're growing every day in your knowledge of the very important place prayer is to have in your life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.